Hello, it's David here, and if you're listening to this podcast, that means that you are interested in podcasting in some capacity. And if you have your own show, I want to tell you about Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Let's start the show. Today on the show, we have Jason Pfeiffer. Jason's the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, the host of three podcasts, and he recently wrote a book that's being adapted into a television show. It was great to talk to Jason about podcasting and kind of taking that entrepreneurial lens, because if you started a podcast yourself, you're an entrepreneur. You created something out of nothing, and that's the first step to entrepreneurship. And you know the journey of trying to build something that's successful. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jason. Thank you so much for taking the time. You know, I can only imagine how packed your schedule is between being the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, writing a book that is now being adapted for television, and hosting three podcasts. What is your trick for accomplishing so much in a day?
Don't think about what you can't do and just start doing it. I don't feel like I'm very good at managing things, but I suppose I am, because I'm keeping all this stuff alive and I'm now trying to build some more structure into my life. So I brought on an assistant and we're building some processes. But honestly, what it's come down to is figuring out what it is that I want to do. What's the purpose of it? Why am I doing this project or that project? What role does it play either in my goals right now or where I see myself going? I often do things for two reasons. One is because of whatever I wanted to do at the time. And then the second is because of what I think it might be able to get me. And the ROI on something might completely change. I think that it's smart to do things without really having a key idea of what the ROI is, but you have to have some idea of where a project is bringing you in order to be able to continue to devote the time to it. And so that's what I'm always trying to figure out.
Yeah. You know, we found a lot of our members, you know, obviously don't make enough money to quit their day jobs. So they have to balance recording and podcast. Do you find it hard to kind of, you know, turn that off, and when once the microphone is on, start going? Or once the microphone's on, like, you're in the mindset and you're ready to record?
Oh, I mean, I can just switch it on. Part of that, to be honest, is I've created something of a character for myself, which you're hearing right yeah. now. Like, you know, the way that I speak when I'm on microphone is the same way that I speak when I'm on television or on stage, but it's not how I speak if I'm having lunch with you. That would be so unbelievably annoying. But having this mode that I can just turn on is actually really valuable, because it puts me into a completely different mindset. I mean, this isn't podcasting, but it's the same voice and mindset. Yesterday at 6:30 in the morning, I went on MSNBC. And so that means that because we're in a remote world, that means that I rolled out of bed 10 minutes earlier and I walked down to my computer and I turned on the ring light and I connected by Skype, and then there's Ali Velshi talking to me. And how do I do it? Well, the way I do it is that the second that it's time to go, I just feel like I hit a button. And then instead of talking like this, I'm talking like this, and here we are. And it just snaps my entire body and mind into that mode that I need to be in. And then I can turn it off later. And it sounds crazy, but I think that if you can create a dividing line for yourself between who you are when you're not on mic and who you need to be when you are on mic, getting between the two becomes pretty easy.
Yeah. Do you ever like mistakenly turn it on at the dinner table? Like, and I'm coming to you, do you want potatoes or do you want the asparagus?
I don't, but I have noticed that if I get very passionate about talking about something, that I will slip into that voice and also into that inflection. And then like my wife and I are debating something and I'll start to go into that mode and she'll be like, calm down. right? Like, like you, this is, you're like way too into this right now. And I'll be like, oh, you're right. You're right. Like, I just went into that mode where I'm talking to you like you're not a human being in front of me. So it can slip in, but it's a useful thing to have. I think of it as a character. It's a character. You play a character and your character is named, you have the same name as your character. And your character has like 5 to 10% of whatever you otherwise have in your head, but it's really focused 5 to 10% that's based on the audience and what the audience needs. And you just play that character, and it's a version of you. It's just a really simple version of you that's made for an audience.
Yeah. So for the podcasters listening in, what would be your biggest advice, outside of playing a character, for people that are just beginning to grow their podcast audience?
I think that you need to understand what you're delivering to an audience that nobody else is. I mean, there are, at last count that I heard, maybe you have a more specific number, but there's like at least a actual million podcasts out there, right? Not an exaggeration million. There's a million, like an actual million podcasts. And let's be honest, most of them are very bad. And also most of them are not in existence anymore. I mean, the number of podcasts that are actually updated regularly are actually quite small. And that's because most people made something and they put it out into the world and then nobody cared about it and they stopped making it. And I don't know, maybe there's some stat about how many episodes in before most people drop off, but I bet for a lot of people, it's like 5 or 6 or something. And you know, your audience is further along than that. But the reason that I bring that up is to say that if you don't have a relentless focus on your audience and how you are different enough, and you are constantly providing really concerted value to that audience, then your audience numbers are not going to grow. And you are also not going to be passionate enough about continuing to make this thing. For me, coming from a media background, you know, I've worked in magazines for the majority of my career, and I make media. I have a level of expectation for myself as a media creator. And so I won't do a kind of show that I feel like is already out there. So I create these structures for myself. The most complicated one is called Pessimist's Archive, my Pessimist's Archive podcast, which, by the way, I'm changing the name of. So when you're listening to this, you may or may not be able to find it as Pessimist's Archive, but search for Pessimist's Archive, you'll find it. Anyway, it's an hour, it's like a 45-minute long documentary. I talk to 5 to 8 experts. I write a 6 to 8,000 word script that throws to tape and uses all sorts of archival audio. Whenever I'm referencing an old newspaper or something, I have an actor who reads it. This takes months to make every episode. It's so complicated. But the reason I'm doing it is because it makes me really proud. Like, it makes me really, really proud to put something out in the world that I know doesn't sound like other things, and that is doing something that you can't find anywhere else. And that's the reason why that podcast has the audience it does, which is like top people in venture capital and in policymaking and in academia. And they're hearing something that nobody else is making. And that's because I pushed myself. It would be so much easier to make a show where I just sit down and talk with an expert for an hour and then I publish that. But I wouldn't be proud of that. I can only be proud of something that I pour an extensive amount of time into. And so in pushing myself to make something that I'm proud of, I'm also pushing myself to stand behind that and do everything that I possibly can to make sure that that thing succeeds. And I think that audiences notice that.
Yeah. You know, you also cover a lot of stories about, entrepreneurs that, have been successful and kind of have to go past that, why me, why am I doing this? I have to be passionate. And podcasters are kind of like, in some extent, also entrepreneurs creating something from nothing with their shows. What's your advice, taking the entrepreneur lens of, how to get over that 6th episode or those first few episodes when nobody's listening, but you're creating something you're passionate about, and the why would anyone listen to me feeling? Like, how do you get over that hump to really continue?
So the first thing I think you should think of is Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn. Now he's a venture capitalist. He has this great phrase, and it is, if you're not embarrassed by your first product launch, then you launched too late. The idea being that you cannot put something perfect out into the world, just literally not possible. And so instead, the only thing that you can do is to put something out that you are ultimately going to be embarrassed about, but it is going to teach you by sheer experience of putting something out and seeing how people respond to it or don't, that you will learn along the way and you'll create something great. Because the other option is to sit on the sidelines and like try to make something perfect forever and never actually put it out there. And that's not useful for anybody. You know, that podcast that I just talked about, Pessimist Archive, that I'm so proud of, I listen back at like the first couple episodes of that show, and I am so embarrassed. I sound awful, right? Like, I don't really know how to write a podcast script. I don't really know how to host a show. My voice sounds terrible. I sound sleepy. The music was all wrong. Like, it's all, and I keep thinking, you know, one day I'm just going to go back and like re-record all those episodes because they're so damn bad. But you know what? People liked them. And they still go back to them. And what it took was me just pushing and pushing and pushing and knowing that I wasn't making something that was going to be up to my own standards later on, but was that the best thing that I could make right now? And just having the experience of it was going to matter. Ira Glass says this great thing. I think it's Ira Glass. Apologies if I'm stealing somebody's line and attributing it to Ira Glass, but where he says that at the very beginning of something, there's going to be a significant gap between your tastes and your abilities, right? Which is to say that you know what good sounds like, and you're not able to make good. And so there's a gap between your tastes and your abilities. And that's everybody. That's everything, right? Like no dancer started dancing the way that they imagine they would like to, right? Nobody picked up the guitar for the first time and just like rocked out Jimi Hendrix. And nobody starts a business and like within the first 5 days, it's Google. It just doesn't work that way. You put something out into the marketplace that's your best thing that you can do at the very start, minimum viable product. And then you iterate and you get feedback and you see where you were wrong and you see where you could do better and you build and you build and you build and you build. And the thing is that process never ends. I am sure that in 2 years, I will listen to the stuff that I'm making right now and I will cringe. And that's good.
Yeah, you know, you talked about how your first episodes, you know, have you been surprised about how much podcasting as a whole has grown in since you started your podcast and, you know, in the last few years?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are positives and negatives to that. The positives, well, let's talk about the negatives because I think they're simpler. The negatives are growth means more competition, right? More fighting for people's ears, more shows landing in their feeds. You have to constantly be stepping up your game. Though competition can also be very good because it brings more awareness to the podcast industry. So it's not like there was a fixed number of listeners 5 years ago and now more and more podcasts competing for those listeners. In fact, as there are more and more podcasts, there are also more and more listeners. So that can be a good thing. But the really great thing that I love, and you know, you guys are a part of this, is the number of products and services for podcasts in the last number of years has spiked in this amazing, amazing way. I mean, I shudder to think of what my life was like. And I remember it because this didn't exist for the first couple of years. But like before Descript came along, if people don't know Descript or Descript as the founder calls it, but I just can't go with Descript. It's Descript. Anyway, Descript. It is a automatic a transcription service for podcasts.
The editing company, yeah.
And then it's got the editing. So when I'm, you know, when you're listening to my show and it's me talking blah, 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 and then it's throw to tape and you hear somebody else, like that was, I threw an audio interview into the script. It transcribed it to like 98% accuracy in just a few minutes. And then I was able to go through, highlight the text of the audio that I wanted, export just that, then go in. I could highlight the word if somebody said and then delete it and it removes it from the audio. It's amazing. Before that, I was literally by hand transcribing every interview and then going through to figure out what parts of it I wanted to put in. And then I had to go and manually cut that tape. It was awful. And now, I mean, that just took my time and a fraction of it now goes. So those kinds of tools are out there and they're amazing. And I'm so excited for what's going to happen in 5 to 10 years from now, because, you know, what we're working with now is going to seem like kids' toys.
You know, when you talk about your own shows, you talk about, you know, your passion and your quality standards. And I know in other interviews, you talked about your passion for journalism and reporting. You know, you said your advice to journalists, if you can do anything else, don't do it. And then you talked about, you know, your first job, you know, living next to the cemetery, because that's how you want to just make ends meet. You know, for the podcasters out there that are just starting, that are really passionate about it, how big of, you know, that really want to get into the industry, how much does passion play into, you know, how you should pursue what you're recording?
Well, to different degrees. And first of all, thank you for all the research on me. I appreciate it.
Gotta research.
And I will tell you, a lot of people do not. Like, what you've just displayed there is a fantastic lesson in what to be doing when you're interviewing people, because I've certainly been invited on shows and said yes, and then came on and realized that this person knows like one thing about me and they otherwise have not done any work. And it's like, well then, okay, so now you're not respecting your listeners' time and you're not respecting your guests' time. But so to your question, look, first, I think that passion, it can be overplayed, right? Follow your passion, pursue your passion, build a thing out of your passion. And you know what? Sometimes passions don't make for great businesses. And also sometimes if you try to build a structure around your passion, it's going to turn into absolutely nothing and you're going to hate your passion. I think that what you need to know is that the thing that you're pursuing is something that you are deeply curious about and that you are willing to think of in some way or another like a marriage. You know, it could end, you could get a divorce, but the idea is like, this is something you want to spend a lot of time with, a lot of time thinking about, a lot of time obsessing over. Is this a subject, and is this something where you feel like you don't see the end of it? Unless you're making a limited series, and then go ahead and see the end, that's really good. But I'm thinking back to my experience when I was dating before I met my wife, and I would go on these dates with these women, and I would know pretty quickly, I don't think that I would have anything to say to this woman if I had to sit down with her for another hour, right? Like, we're going to exhaust every single thing that I have to say to this person. Or, you know, sometimes you'd go on a date with somebody and they'd be like, you know, I think that I could probably go on 3 dates with this person and then I'm going to be super bored. And then when I met who would become my wife, I was like, I don't know where the end is here, right? Like, I just feel like we have enough in common and we click enough that I don't know where this ends. That's a relationship to pursue. And the same goes for podcasts. Like, if you have a subject and a format and a whatever that you feel like you just don't know the end of this, you could have infinite expressions of this thing. Well, then that's a great start. Like, that's where you need to go. And if you have some hyper, I've talked to people who have some hyper specific idea of what it is that they want to do, and they have a list of like 3 episode subjects. And then I say, okay, tell me the 4th episode. And they don't have an answer, right? Like, they came up with something that they have like 3 good ideas, and then that's the end of it. Not good. Like, you're going to need something else, because you're going to exhaust it too quick. So it's not about passion necessarily, but it is about curiosity.
Yeah. And longevity, right? Can you keep it going?
Yeah.
Jason, besides recording your podcast, what are you listening to? What podcasts are you listening to nowadays?
So I listen to a ton of stuff, but my favorites to recommend are 2 shows that have absolutely nothing to do with anything, because I do like to just get my head out of things, right? I mean, like, you know, I'm a consumer of all the usual stuff, the Radio Labs and This American Life. And I try to stay up with news with the Daily and Tech Meme Ride Home and all that stuff. But if you're looking for something that's just unlike anything else you've ever heard, which is what I always look for, I want things that say to me, you don't know where the boundaries are. Like, the boundaries are the boundaries of creation are not where you think they are. And so whenever I see something that does that to me, I'm always alert to it. So 2, number 1, Richard's Famous Food Podcast. It is only sort of about food. It is really, it's like listening to a cartoon. I mean, it's the craziest thing you've ever heard. I don't even know how to describe it. It is a food podcast, but it is really an insane production explosion, and you won't know what I'm talking about until you listen to it. So go check out Richard's Famous Food Podcast. The episodes come out at random, sometimes months apart. It's just the wackiest thing you've ever heard. And then Everything Is Alive is my other favorite, which is interviews with inanimate objects. So, for example, an interview with a bar of soap, or an interview with a subway seat. And so they have an actor who plays the bar of soap with the subway seat, and that sounds shticky, but the reason why I love it so much is because they have put so much thought into the perspective of life from a bar. Like, what would a bar of soap's life be like? What would they see of the world? How would they understand the world? And then to have this conversation with them, it's just a little piece of, it's like a thought experiment and a little piece of art. And I can't get enough of it.
That's pretty funny. So for everyone listening, where can they find your work?
Yeah. So I invite you to do a couple things. One, jasonpfeiffer.com is my hub. And also you can sign up for my newsletter there where I do a newsletter about how to find opportunity and change. And then reach out to me on socials. If you want to get in touch, I respond to everybody. So you could DM me on Instagram at Hey Pfeiffer, HeyFeiffer. And then I had mentioned Pessimist Archive, one of the three podcasts that I do. And it's the one that I spend the most time on. And so it's the one that I'm going to plug right here. Again, I'm changing the name because the word pessimist just keeps making people think it's a pessimistic show, which it's not. Mm-hmm. So for a while, it'll have another name and then it'll say formerly Pessimist Archive. So even if you say whatever happens, if you search Pessimist Archive, you'll find it. And I hope you enjoy.
Once again, thank you so much to Jason Pfeiffer for being on the show. I hope that you guys enjoyed that and took some words of wisdom from what he was talking about. And I think that he's super knowledgeable about podcasting. And what he was saying, I think, can apply to every podcaster, whether you're brand new and just starting your show or have been doing your show for some time now. If you like this podcast, please rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media. And we'll be back with another episode on Wednesday. So I hope to see you next episode.